Morning, Kevy. How are you, mate?
Oh, excellent. This morning, guys. How's everyone? All good?
Yeah, going pretty well. Another week closer, Kevy, and thank goodness we're going to have some sport here in Australia to talk about very soon. We're waiting this week to see what the Queensland government then says about the NRL's biosecurity guidelines and whether they'll accept the flu shot waiver that has been used by the NRL, thus would allow Bryce Cartwright and Brian Kelly to get back to training. Where do you think this will all land?
Well, I'm sure we'll get a solution eventually. It's just a matter of the two parties getting together and I guess discussing where they both need to be at. And I was just listening to the back end of Laurie's conversation there about, yeah, well, it's probably going to end up, listen, boys, if you want to play in the NRL in this next this season in 2020, you have to have a flu shot on. I guess that makes it very clear to all parties, doesn't it? And I completely understand with some players, religion-wise or whatever reason, it's their right not to have a flu jab. But in the current environment, if you want to play in the NRL in 2020, you've got to have a flu jab. So
That makes it pretty simple, doesn't it, Kevy? I think.
Well, it does. Yeah. But there have to be exceptions all the time for rules, and we respect that, certainly. So, again, that's an issue for our governments to work out. They've made some really strong decisions and some important decisions, you know, over the last 6 to 8 weeks around our game and the health and safety of our game. And this, again, the health and safety of the players and the community will be at the forefront of this decision. So whatever they come up with, we've got to respect and just get on with things.
And Kevy, with that, would your assumption be that if you don't get the flu shot and you don't play, then you're not going to be paid?
Well, again, that's an issue that the players, whether they go on some sort of minimum wage or something, I'm not sure. It's a tough one because if you're not going to actually play, well, then you probably don't deserve to get paid either, do you? I mean, that's they teach you that in year one at school that, you know, if you get when you're working, then you get paid. But if you're not working, well, you shouldn't really expect to get paid or get some sort of minimum wage or something to help out because you can't just throw everything out the door, I suppose. So it's more about sort of the Players Association and the players getting with the league and the government and sorting out what they need to sort out so we can get our game up and running on the 28th. And those that want to be part of it, this is what you have to do to be playing on the 28th of May.
Loz, this is to you as well as Kevy. I don't understand why this is not a situation where, you know what, forget what media, us, the world says and thinks. Isn't this a great example in a team sport where your teammates, your senior players come together and go and have a conversation with the individual players and say, guys, look, this is now getting out of control. This is becoming much bigger than it needs to be. Let's sort this out in-house. Let's just have the conversation and find a way to get this done.
That possibly could be going on at the moment, Clarkie. I think that, to be fair, these protocols were only put in place last Monday when they came back and players were aware of what the requirements were. So they've had a bit of time to think about it and process it. But I think it's been made clear to them that while they'll try and do everything they can, rugby league, to allow them to play without it being, without them having the jab, that if push comes to shove and the government say no, the players have to be have a flu shot, then they know where they'll stand, and that is they'll have to be stood down. So, and I reckon, you know, some of the senior players would be respecting their decision that they don't want to get it done and they probably don't want to delve too much into it. But I'm sure some other players would have discussed it with them and see what their thoughts were and why they didn't want to get the flu shot. But again, it comes down to you've got to respect each individual for their decision that they make. But having said that, you've got to also explain to them that we can't be waiting around for you because the game needs to continue. We want to get back onto the park. So we respect what you've done, but hopefully you respect what we're about to do, and that's to go and play football without you.
Yeah, for mine, it's pretty simple, Clarkie. Like, I would get the flu jab. In fact, I get one every year anyway, but that's me and my personal opinion, and then we've got to respect the opinion of others, and some of them some of these guys have religious beliefs around the no flu shot, so we've got to respect that as well. And I don't know, it's going to come to a climax in the next couple of days, and I'm sure that we can sort out a solution to the problem. We've crossed all the other hurdles. Well, certainly the game has, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I don't see this as being a major hurdle either for our players or our game.
What are your thoughts on one referee, Kevy, and the idea that there'll be no penalty? There'll be just a waving of the hand from the referee with 6 more tackles.
No, I love it. I think one referee, we know that coaches manipulate the referees. Whether there's, we had one referee in our game for 100 years, and that seemed to, satisfy everyone. But I think we've got to go back to, again, if we are going to have one referee, the touch judges need to take some more responsibility around policing perhaps the yardage rules, the 5, the 10-metre rule, and also they need to be giving some more assistance to the referees. And also we've got a couple of referees sitting up in the stands as well. Surely, without intervening too much, at critical times they can assist the on-field referee. So for mine, I like it, but I'm sure that I've heard plenty of the NRL coaches against it. Again, but we just get on with the game and let's let it all happen and see where it takes us.
And Kevin, you played in the Super League. Loz was talking about that it made the game too fast, some of the rules there in the early days of Super League, and Loz has warned against this 6 again rule, but you're in favour of it as well?
Well, again, without giving, I haven't sort of given it a whole lot of thought over the weekend, but I know looking back to Super League, it was extremely fast. It was more like Oztag than actual rugby league. So we've got to get the balance right, and I'm sure our top referees, they'll go through, the next 3 or 4, we've got about 18 days now until the kickoff. So they've got to get some work into their systems around how they're going to police what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And as long as we draw a line in the sand early, get the right tempo of the game, the referees know, the pace of the game and how it should be. I look back at some of the great games in history, in recent games, particularly around Origin, and there's not a lot of penalties being blown. There's not a lot of stoppage in play, which again allows the skillful players, the smaller players to show their skills. It allows the big men to show their skills as well. And the 6 again, as Laurie's talking about, that would be something for the... I don't think you get too many 6 agains. Players start, referees start penalising for certain infringements. The game would speed up and the players wouldn't be able to go with it. They would lose. They would lose the game. So I don't think it'd take too many referees to start these 6 agains, and the players would sort of pull back into line on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Kevy, surely if we're talking about saving money, then the bunker's got to... If the bunker goes, that's got to save a lot more expenses than the second referee.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think the bunker... Well, when we're looking at trying to save some money, I think it came up with some good little plans, the bunker, but overall, I think most people in our game would say that it didn't have the influence that we liked it to have over the game. So, yeah, the bunker, I would think, is... I'm a big believer in, instant decisions and putting some more responsibility on our referees. They're going to make mistakes, just like the players do every week. Coaches make mistakes. Linesmen make mistakes. But it's, when you're brought up as a kid, it's about accepting the referee's decision, right or wrong. Same with your cricketers. How many times have you been given out when you're not out, mate? And likewise, sometimes you're
evens itself out, for sure.
Exactly. So, it's just... That's what we grew up on, is respecting the referee's decision, right or wrong. And that's where I think we've got to take our game. And we'll see where it gets us. I mean, this is a different world, the rugby league world that we live in now. And we've just got to go with the flow on whatever we can come up with. Let's get it on. Let's get our game back on our TV screens.
Just on that then, Kevy, the bunker, if it stays in play and there's only one referee, are you worried at all that the bunker then becomes too much a part of the game in terms of tipping to referees?
Yeah, no, certainly I do. We don't want a huge influence from the bunker. Again, let's put some responsibility back with our referees. They're under enormous pressure, I know, but there's 2 touches out there, Loss, and also, there'll be a referee, 2 referees in the grandstand that can help our little referee at halftime, even some feedback for him. I mean, there's lots of different scenarios, I know, but I can see myself being a fan of the one man referee. What are your thoughts, Laurie? Are you against it? Are you?
Kevy, I've swapped and changed, to be honest with you. since the introduction of two referees. I've felt it's been good, then I've felt it's been bad. My concern is not so much with the one referee, because I think eventually the players will adjust, the coaches will adjust, but we're going to have to accept that there'll be mistakes from the get-go, and it might take 5 or 6 weeks before they iron it out. My concern is with that six to go call, because I just remember playing in Super League where the game was too fast, and I can see teams just being put under so much pressure and fatigue with those six to go calls and the amount of controversy it'll cause. I think we'll put too much pressure on the referees by allowing that. My thoughts would be you go back to sending the guy for repeated infringements into a sin bin for 5 or 10 minutes.
Rather than
giving them six to go.
Well, there's some smart men on this committee that's putting the game back together, so I'm sure there's lots of, different options. But players are players, and they will always try and, break the rule. Well, not break the rules, but take the game to the edge to try and get an advantage for their team. So, the one referee, of course, is the system we use with our international rugby league at the end of the season. We've seen some great international football over the past 3 or 4 years under the one referee system. So we can make it work. It's just a matter of the coaches and the players wanting to make it work.
Kevy, it's not too far away until we can talk about what actually is going on the field. Can't wait. Thanks for joining us as always, mate.
Get on you, gents. Enjoy your Monday.